Yeah. Amen, amen. God is good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. He saves, he heals, he delivers. And it's never because of anything that we do that makes us so incredible. It's because he's so incredible. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We've been talking about Mission Impossible, and that Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. And as amazing a statement as that is, it's somewhat easy for us to accept that with God, all things are possible. But even more amazing than that, I think, is when Jesus says, all things are possible for them that believe. Now, that's a whole nother level, because that's saying now that God is going to call us to participate with him to accomplish impossible things that we could not accomplish without him. And the only prerequisite is that you believe. And so believing is what connects us to all the promises of God. That this is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ, this New Testament. And it's like reading a will. And after a person dies and you find out that you got like some billionaire uncle, you'd be excited. And the first thing you want to happen is you want that lawyer or whoever's going through that will to tell me all of the stuff that I got that has been left to me by inheritance since my rich uncle died. Well, you got more than a rich uncle. You got the Son of the Living God. And he died and rose again. But when he died, he was able to have a last will and testament. And this Bible is filled with precious promises that have been left to us that belong to us. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's sitting on the other side of the desk in the office going through a whole list of stuff that you got. You blessed, you're healed, you're delivered, you justify, you're sanctified, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That you're the head and not the tail, you above only and never beneath. It's all of these different promises that have been promised to you. And the Holy Spirit is revealing to you all the time what God has given you. And the only thing that's left is, will you believe? The sum total of the difference between believers who really live a victorious life in Jesus Christ isn't that people are perfect and they don't make mistakes. But when it's all said and done, they believe. They believe that God has forgiven them. They believe when they sin and ask for forgiveness, God will forgive them. They believe in the grace of God. They believe God. And because they believe God, it changes everything about what they do and the direction of their life. What you believe has everything to do with where your life goes. What you believe. So if you have a young lady in here that you just believe that you are just unattractive and disgusting and ugly and whatever it is, no matter how attractive you are and how many people tell you you are, since you believe, you will cause your life to go in the direction of somebody who's got low self-worth, low self-esteem. You ever seen people like young women that they could be beautiful and they're intelligent and they seem to have so much going for themselves, and then you see the guy that they're with and then you go, now why? Is she with that guy? Because she believes that's the only kind of guy she can get. Because she believes that this guy that mistreats her and beats her down and cheats on her all the time, does all these things, this she believes somewhere in here, this is what I deserve. But you give me a woman who says that I believe that Jesus loves me, and I believe that I'm blessed, and I believe I'm as good as anybody else is, and I believe that I'm okay and I'm all right, and she's not going to accept just any kind of treatment. That's what happens with you and I as the bride of Christ, the church, that he, the bridegroom, tries to tell us how much he loves us and how special we are and how incredible we are, how amazing we are, and how much he can do through us and what we can accomplish with him. And usually we look at ourselves and go, me? So until you break your belief system so that your belief system is in agreement with God's will and God's word, you will never be able to perform the things that God wants you to perform in the earth. You give me a church filled with people who believe, and we can do amazing things. It don't matter what style the pastor has when he or she preaches. It doesn't matter what style the praise and worship is. It doesn't matter whether you're in an old building or you're in some new school 21st century high-tech building. It don't matter whether you're in Piqua, New York, L.A., or wherever you may be. The only thing that matters is, will you believe God? That's why I asked you in this prayer line, do you believe? And you say, I believe. And because you believe, you have what you believe for. Amen. Now, God gave us faith to enable us to believe Him. It's just that simple. We couldn't believe God without faith. The young ladies come up here and got saved. The faith of God came upon you, and you were able to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Those of you who stood up here to be healed, you believe that God heals. You believed it, you believed it, you believed it. And because you believe it, you receive it. And He gave us faith so that we could do that. So let's look at faith once again in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It's another aspect of that I want to share with you that might help you grasp this. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. When you find it, say, Jesus reigns. The King James says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now the Amplified translation breaks it down further and says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And so when you believe in God by faith, it's not revealed to the senses. So there's nothing about what I see or hear or taste or smell. That's the proof of it. The proof of it is God said it. That's why Jesus said, have faith in God, because what you think about God determines whether you'll have faith in God. It comes down to His Word. And until you get to that place when everything else around you is stripped away and all you got is the Word that God says, and will you believe your situation, your circumstances, or will you believe what God says, then you have never walked in faith. Most of the church still doesn't believe that you're righteous, when the Bible makes it painfully obvious that, in fact, one of the names of God is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. So my righteousness is not self-righteousness. My righteousness is righteousness that God credited to me because I believed on the name of the Son of God. And most of us still struggle with that because we are expecting to see something. So when we're in sin and when we make a mistake or when we mess up, isn't it the hardest thing for you to do is believe that you're righteous? But when you're doing right, you feel like, I'm righteous. Well, no. You young ladies that got saved, you are as righteous today as you ever going to be. It don't matter how many things you stop cursing, stop. I hope the little girl there ain't cursing. But whatever you do, you're never going to be more righteous than the moment you got saved. That's why we glorify God. We can glorify Him because it's all about Him. He died on that cross, and He bled, and He suffered, and He died, and He was buried, and He rose again. And because of Him, we are everything that we are. We have access to the Father because of Him. Now, one of the words there in the Amplified translation, parenthetically, it says there, the confirmation, the title deed. Now, I told you last week that hope is not faith. That you cannot have faith without hope. So if you're hopeless, then you can't have faith, because faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. So faith has to have something to grab a hold to. And if there's no hope, then there's no faith. But hope in and of itself is not faith, because hope is still, I'm just hoping. So if you come in the prayer line, do you believe you can be healed? I hope so. What that suggests is you don't really know. But then it says here that it's the confirmation of the things that we hope for. And so faith is owning. I already own what I'm hoping for with no proof that I have it. Now that's tough. That's tough on your flesh. Now it may not be tough on yours, but I tell you what, when you for real hear God tell you to do something that everything around you suggests it's the wrong way to go, but you know that God's word and God is speaking to you, and this is what God has said, and with no proof, you got to already say, I own something where there's no. When you sickness is in your body and you hurting and you aching and you're sick, and the whole time you're trying to walk around saying, by his stripes, I am healed. You know that sickness is in there, but you've already, I'm not waiting until I see the proof. The proof is what God said. And just as I am saved and I believe it, I'm also healed. I'm also blessed. I'm all the other things that God says that I am. Now that word confirmation, I like, because in the time period in which we live, you can order just about anything online. And so I love that. I think we live in the best time you could live in that region. People be like, I just want to go back to the simple days. I don't. Want to go back to a horse and carriage or something like that, when you can be in a car and you got to be going all over town to just get a few groceries. Now you can just go to Walmart, Meijer, wherever you go, one-stop shopping. Whatever. I like fast food, drive-through, and I want it quicker and quicker. Any other way, if they could find a way that I could just roll by, throw the money, and then they throw the food, I'm all for it. The quicker, the better. You know what I'm saying? We live in an age, because of the technology we have, that there are so many different things that we have access to. And one of those things is that's still amazing to me, because that's when, you know, you're getting old, because you look back and go, man, when you was a kid, you couldn't do nothing like that. But then you blown away. Like my daughter there, she's not blown away by ordering something online. But I remember when all you had was a Sears catalog or something like that. It'd take like 800 years before what you ordered ever showed up. Now I take 3 to 5 business days or quicker. And so what happens when you order something online is you see a thing. We order so many things for this ministry online. And so different stuff around here, ordered it online. And then you see it, what you want. You sure would like to have that. That's why you're online. You find out what it costs, and then you go ahead and put your credit card number in there when you shopping for it, and then you go ahead and hit enter, and then that they check out your credit card, find out your credit card. Good, some of y'all couldn't do that because they come back, no way. But they find out if your credit card is good, and then they come back, and guess what they email you? A confirmation number. Now, question. Do you own the item even though it ain't showed up yet? And how you know you own it? Sit in a little bit. You haven't seen it. You haven't touched it. You don't have possession of it. You don't know the knucklehead that's going to drive the truck. And whether you're in a bad mood, whether you're going to steal your stuff. You don't know none of that. You just know, I got a confirmation number. And because I got a confirmation, I've got it. I own it. It's mine. I ain't got it yet, but I got it. Changes your whole attitude, because now you're looking outside for somebody. You're not hoping they bring it. They better bring it, because I bought it. I own it. I got the confirmation number. Where's my stuff? Faith is the confirmation that I own it. I've got it. I got the confirmation. God said it. It belongs to me. It's mine. And even though it may not be manifesting in my body or in my life, I'm waiting on the day it's going to be delivered because I've already got it. I already own it. I've already got the confirmation. I am just expecting it to show up. And you know, patience has never been one of my greatest things there. So that's why everything takes forever with me. Usually because patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And so I like stuff to 3 to 5 business days too much for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to ask my wife like every day, did my stuff come? Did the book come? Did the whatever I was? And don't let my daughter, she take to another level because she the next generation. And she ordered some boots or a purse or something like, oh my goodness. We want it to show up more than she does because we like, please God, let this show up today. If I had to hear one more time, did my purse show up? I'm going to lose my mind. But she's got the confirmation number. She already owns it. And so that's how we need to come to God. Ask and keep asking. Knock and keep knocking. You keep seeking and you'll find it because you've already, wait a minute, God, you said that I'm healed. So I'm going to keep looking for my healing. I'm going to keep looking for my healing till I see it manifest because you said I've got the confirmation. I don't have it because I'm great, because I'm flawless. Because I'm special, I got it for one reason. The blood of Jesus purchased it, and so is mine. And just like salvation is mine, healing is mine, blessing is mine, deliverance is mine. I may not see it today. It may not be 3 to 5 business days, but it's going to show up. I'll spend the rest of my life looking for it. Now, go to chapter 6, if you do. Just back up a little bit. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and what? Through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now go back to chapter 10, Hebrews here, and look at verse 35 and 36. It says in verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Verse 36 says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. When we see Abraham, Noah, different guys that the scriptures tell us to look to them as an example, who through not just faith, but faith and patience. Now, I can't talk to you about doing the impossible and talking about faith and believing without talking about patience, because this is what messed my wife and I up when we first trusted Jesus with our lives and believing God, and then we watching people tell their testimony on TV, and it seemed like everything they believed God for showed up 2 seconds after they believed. And so when it didn't show up for us 2 seconds after we believed, we got discouraged. Until God taught me this scripture. Through faith and patience, they obtain the promises of God. When Abraham, we see the story of Abraham, and we look in the scripture and we see Abraham, what was promised Isaac, he had Isaac. No. 25 years after God said to Abraham that I promise you Isaac before Isaac ever showed up. 3 to 5 business days. 25 years that he's believing God, that he's trusting God, and he's standing on nothing other than what God said. And he didn't have a Bible and some anointed preacher, man of God, and praise and worship service going on to get him fired up to believe again. Who knows how long it was before God said something again?
I don't know how many years went by before God, might have been 2 years went by, God didn't even say nothing. And then he has to come back and speak to Abraham again. Abraham has to keep believing year in and year out. And Noah, we think, wow, that's awesome. He never even heard of rain. Don't know what rain is. God said it's going to rain so bad I'm going to flood everything out except what's in this ark that I'm telling you to build. So start building this ark. Now, God didn't tell Noah when it's going to rain. He just said it's going to. So build an ark. He built that ark for 100 years. Oh, yeah, that's crazy. 100 years, he is building something God told him to build with no proof or evidence that what God said is going to happen. Don't know when it's going to happen. Don't know if it's ever going to happen. But by faith and patience, he did it. And patience. Now, that's difficult for all of us, actually, because, like I said, all the technological advancements we have, oh, my goodness, you can get anything. You can get it quick. And so we can't even push. We thought having a phone where you didn't have to turn the rotary thing was like, this was amazing. This was more incredible than the man landing on the moon, is that you ain't got to sit there for 2 years to take. For you young folks, it used to take like a half hour just to call somebody. And if it was a 1-800 number, you just said, forget it. It was guys growing beards before they finished dialing a 1-800 number. Because you said 8-0, and then we go 0. And so we got pushed, but thought, man, you just pushed the button. And then he messed around, got to the place where you could put it in a memory and just speed dial. Just push one button and it automatically. Now, but that ain't enough for us. Now you just got to touch the screen. Then that ain't enough for us. You just want to say something. Call Joe. And you just call Joe. And if it take more than a couple of seconds for Joe to get on the phone, we mad. What's going on? Doggone. Because we so used to convenience. Convenience is a good thing. I said that, right? It's a good thing. Everything's convenient. If you're going to have a business, you better find a way to make it quick and convenient for your customers, or they're going to go to somebody who can. That's the age we live in. We working on searching for different people to help us out to build a website for this church, because the bottom line is that a lot of people, if you say what church you are and they go and you ain't online, they think you're not legitimate. It's just it's the time we live in. You got it's everything's online, everything's all that. You got Facebook and you got Twitter, and I mean, my crying out loud, you should only be famous if you had Twitter. We don't care what you're doing. You famous, then we want to know. Wow, you know, Kim Kardashian went to the grocery store. Ooh, but y'all don't want to know what I'm doing, do you? Yes, you do. I know you're dying to know. Well, I wonder what Pastor John's doing at the minute of the day. You probably don't want to know every minute of the day what I may be doing. Listen to this statement. Faith enables you to believe God. Faith and patience enables you to keep believing as long as it takes. Faith and patience, it's not exciting, but it's necessary. Faith and patience. So what all of this convenience has done for us is inbred impatience. And so even in church, you have to make things convenient. And I'm not even saying that's the wrong thing, but you try to make things as convenient as you can, and people be able to, like I said, get a message and be able to just go online and listen to the message and burn it on the CD. You try to make things as convenient as you can, have some coffee so people have a little coffee for the service, and try to make things as comfortable as you can with these pews. That's not all that possible, but, you know, we try to make things as comfortable as you can. But all of that causes in us to expect God to do everything for us quickly and conveniently. And when it ain't quick and when it ain't convenient, we get discouraged. Some of you here today, for no other reason than the time it's taken, have given up on something you was believing God for. Because somewhere in your flesh, you get an alarm clock, you don't know when it is, that goes off and says, it's been too long. It's been too long. Like Jairus, I believe, that had a daughter that
that died. Well, she wasn't dead at first. She was just sick. And so he comes to Jesus and says, could you heal my daughter? She's sick. Jesus said, yes. And then here comes some woman fighting through a crowd, touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus stops everything, makes a big thing for that. Well, here's Jairus. He said, now, I came to you first. My daughter's sick. She's getting sicker. Hello, Jesus. I'm calling. I cried out to you. My daughter is sick. And you're healing this woman. This woman ain't even asked. She just touched the hem of your garment and she healed. I asked first. And then his servant shows up and said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. And Jesus said, no, she's only sleeping. See, they had decided that too much time had elapsed. And now that she is dead, maybe he could have healed her, but now that she's dead, it ain't nothing that can happen. But God purposely puts you in situations and makes it impossible, makes it above and beyond anything you could ever ask or think, just so he can show you the power that he's working with. So he goes and then he finds where the little girl is and then he takes the family with him and a few disciples and he kicks everybody else out because they laughing. Laughing at him because how you gonna say she's sleeping? She dead. And then Jesus told them, only believe. That's all he wants. If you just believe me, I'll do it. But you gotta keep believing me as well. Anybody here want to keep believing? Let's look at it. This is interesting. I got to look at a couple of scriptures here. Be patient, and then we're going to make a point, all right? Matthew chapter 21. Let's start at verse 18. Are you there? Matthew 21, verse 18. The Word of God says, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he was hungry. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree, or immediately the fig tree, withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon has the fig tree withered away? Now go one book over to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. You start at verse 12. Verse 12 says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, and happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now they go on and start doing some different stuff. And let's go to verse 20. And it says, and in the morning. So the whole day passed by, right? They went on, did some other stuff. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw a fig tree, underline this, dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, skeptics of the scriptures use this as a glaring contradiction in the Word of God. Same story. And so they point to it and say, in Matthew's gospel, the fig tree is said to have withered away right there when they were looking at it. Jesus cursed it. And immediately, it withered. But then when you see in Mark's gospel, he says that it was the next morning that they noticed it had withered away. I believe that the Holy Spirit obviously could see if this was a contradiction and would be questioned, but he put it in there just the way it is so that we can get the point that sometimes by faith you speak to something and it changes immediately. That's when we love it. Right there, when you could speak to your situation where you got some bills or something that's coming against you, and then you start speaking a blessing over that thing, and then the next couple of days, boom, your situation changed. Are y'all going to stick with me? Stick with me. Take a breather. So tell the person next to you, wake up and pay attention so because he's trying to make a point. I'll give you a minute to do that. Ready? Okay, let's go at this again. You speak to a situation and it changes immediately. That's what we like. But then, my wife real loud now, right? All right. And so, but sometimes you speak to your situation and nothing changes. So what happened with Jesus is this: it makes him look cool when he walks up to the thing and curses the fig tree, and then immediately it withers up, and he looks, woo, wow, he's spiritual, he's awesome, he must be the Son of God. But this is what Jesus does in Mark's account. He speaks to the thing to wither up and die and never have fruit again, and nothing changes, and he just walks away and goes on with the rest of his day. He did not stand there and curse the fig tree and go, okay, Father, I'm kind of a little stupid right now. You want people to believe I'm the Son of God? Could you help a brother out here? I cursed the tree. It's just nothing changed. He cursed that tree and walked away. Then Peter the next day said, look, the tree you cursed withered away. And he said this statement, dried up from the roots. Sometimes just below the surface, something's working the moment you believed for it. And see, I told you if you woke up, I was going to go somewhere. My deacons would never go to sleep on me. Just below the surface, sometimes you believe in God, you speak into a situation, and nothing changes, but you just keep walking away believing that just below the surface, the roots of that thing are drying up, and it's just a matter of time before it manifests, and you see what you spoke come to pass. Dried up from the roots. From the roots. Sometimes our stuff is drying up from the roots. You never know what God's doing behind the scenes. God is omnipresent. He's ubiquitous. He's everywhere at once. Devils, angels, nobody else but God is everywhere but one. At one time. Right now, he's right here with you and I. But right now, he's somewhere in China. Right here, he knows what's going on with an ant someplace in a corner somewhere on an island on where there's no habitation. God sees everything in the remote areas of the universe and places man can't see. God knows exactly what's going on. If a star fell out of the sky and we didn't even notice, he's seen it. So sometimes you think it's over because you can't see it. But he sees behind the scenes, he's working this thing, he's working that thing, he's giving this person favor. You can't even believe that the position that you want, that you think you're never going to have, you don't even know that that person is stealing money the whole time, the boss don't know it, and about to find out, going to lose the position, and it's going to be open up, but you ran off and left the job because you thought you'd never get the position. If you had just stayed there and believed God, you would have found out underneath the surface something was working. Somebody gets removed and boom, you right where God said you was going to be, having exactly what God said you was going to have, because God sees it all.
When we thinking that this church is never going to happen, God's saying, you just don't see how everything going to go. There's going to be some stuff that's going to happen over here and some stuff that's going to happen this way and that way. There's some people over here that's disgruntled about something. Some people over here that's feeling they need something. And when I'm done, that's what he going to do now. He working as we speak. It's people that ain't saved, that their parents think they ain't never going to be saved. And the Holy Spirit's working on their root system even as we speak. And those people will walk down this aisle, accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they will find their destiny in God. It seats right there waiting on somebody that's going to sit. It seats back there waiting on somebody to sit down. So I'm not preaching to what I see. I'm preaching to what God said. I'm believing what we build in the ark because the flood is coming. James chapter 1. You ain't going to shout too much on this part, trust me. As soon as I said James chapter 1, some of you already know. James chapter 1. Verse 1. You know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? Patience don't come that way. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That means many trials. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. Oh, it got to be another way, right? Because if I'm going to have the promises of God, I've got to have faith and patience. Now, the faith thing, that's cool. But the patience thing, you telling me that the only way I can get that is the testing of my faith? That I can't just believe God and that's it? But no, he going to test my faith? That's where so many of us lose it. We all excited and jumping and shouting and faith is moving in the room. And yeah, it's all great and wonderful. Praise God. But then when your faith is tested, Jesus put it this way. He talks about stony ground and he likens the ground to people's hearts. And he says stony ground is the type of ground that you sow seed on it. And it springs up quickly because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun comes up, it's scorched and withered away. That's the type of people who believe the word of God when they first hear it and are all excited about it until persecution. Until trial. Until difficulty. Then they fall away and don't believe anymore. Some people can't stay planted in the house of God because soon as trouble comes, they're gone. You was excited. This is amazing. And you're kind of had people come to me. Go, you're incredible. You're amazing. The anointing you're here is amazing. And as soon as trouble comes, they gone. Soon as the trouble hit. Soon as difficulty came. Soon as the temptations came. Soon as the who told you that you was going to go through this life and not have to deal with the testing of your faith. Who told you that? In fact, I was talking to Lori, husband, and Russell, and we talked about how soon as you step out in faith, expect the test. And a test is given by a teacher because the teacher's already taught you what you need to know to pass the test. So when the test comes, you ought to pass with flying colors because you already got what you needed. God has already shown you stuff. This is the church. So hear me, because when y'all fall asleep and stuff, that's because you sit in church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, hearing the word of God, jumping and shouting about the word of God, getting the word of God in you. Then when it's time to use what you know, you don't know what to do. I mean, how many, you done had lessons about Noah's Ark since Sunday school? But then when it comes time for you to be patient, you don't know how to get in the scriptures and meditate on what you already know. If he can believe God, if he can be faithful, if he can keep building, I can believe God. Oh, I remember I heard a real good sermon about just below the surface and the root system. So I'm gonna start confessing that. God, I know what you got for me is already coming because I got the confirmation. It's just under the surface. It's on this. No, you don't do that. When the test comes, you stand there going, what am I gonna do? And start speaking doubt and unbelief and not come to church no more and backbiting and all kinds of foolishness because you're frustrated because you got the information. But what you lack is a revelation. A revelation changes your life. A revelation is what you know deep down inside of you. A revelation changes things. A revelation causes you to stand strong. But when all you're getting is information coming out your ears, you just puffed up with knowledge. So most of the church, unfortunately, when it's time to build something, you only got a few people that's going to build it. You only got a few people that's actually being transformed, a few people who are actually disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a bunch of multitude people who just dare to get a blessing, dare to get prayed for, dare to hear another great message. But in the 21st century, saints of God, time's over for great. Hey, we didn't have the best preaching you can ever get everywhere. It's preachers everywhere, all around the world. The time has come for application. The time has come to do what you know to do. Because he wouldn't give you the test if he wasn't confident that he'd already given you enough to pass it. How fair would that be of God? I'm going to give you a test, but I know you can't pass it. He give you a test. Sometimes when you fail, it's because now I've had God show me something in a year. And then a whole year passed. I write it down. Whole year passes. I'm in the exact same situation I was in a year ago. Asking God the exact same questions. Frustrated with God the same way I was frustrated a year ago. For him to take me back to something I wrote down and says, I gave you the information to pass this test. I know it's tough, but it's necessary. It's necessary. And so look at he says, consider it pure joy. What sense does that make? To consider it pure joy when a bunch of trouble hits your life. Is it just me? I know y'all read that in Thessalonians. I'm not religious, so when I read it, I'm thinking, what? So you're telling me I'm supposed to have joy? Now, I don't think that means I'm always dancing around and whistling that I don't cry sometimes. I'm not frustrated at times. It means what Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And it says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Let me break down the word. For your patience. Patience means an abiding under, steadfastness, and endurance. That's what it means in Greek. And so look at verse 2 in the, verse 3 in the Amplified, when it says, be assured and understand that the trial and the proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. So Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured. The way you endure is that by faith, you know that if all this trouble is hitting my life and I didn't bring it about on myself and I'm doing what God called me to do and yet all hell's breaking loose all around me, though it's difficult, though I cry sometimes, though I'm frustrated, I consider it pure joy because I know it's working something out that I'm going to possess over here. Come on, if you don't believe it, just fake it and act like you believe it for a change. Try not to be mean, but some of you will be in my office or wherever crying and whining about stuff a week from now, and you done got all the information you could ever get. We could talk about it till we're blue in the face and I'm black, and we could keep talking about it and keep giving you suggestions, and it's always going to come back down to faith, believe in God, endurance, steadfastness. It's always going to come back to what you know. But you waiting on another answer. If I give you the answer, if you do this, then you'll be right back in Kansas. Don't you think I'd have done that by now? I mean, we have 1,000 people, we wouldn't know what to do with them, because what? And that's what people like when you counsel them. It's like, okay, all right, wait a minute. Didn't we talk about this like 3 months ago? Did you do what I told you to do 3 months ago?
No.
Isn't that kind of how we do when we're trying to lose weight? It's just, what?
Why are we bringing that up, she said.
Well, this must be where I need to go. I'm doing it so we can get it, so you can really get it. I'm speaking to you as carnal so that you get it, as babes. I want to give you meat, but I'm going to give you milk. So let's talk about it in a baby way. When we're supposed to be losing weight, why is it that, I'm not going to make it a gender. Well, we won't make it a gender. Let's just say you decide that you're going to lose weight and you try to eat right for all of a week. And you exercise for like 6 days and half an afternoon. Then you see somebody who was the same size you was and then dropped 3-4 sizes, and you mad. You don't say you mad. You say, oh, God bless you. Praise the Lord. But inside you going, I can't see her. Look at her. Think she don't think nothing. She put the Twinkie and the Doritos down. She called you on the phone and say, hey, we going walking today? Nope. You had to watch Young and the Restless. And so now that she done dropped 3 sizes, you mad at her and looking in the mirror crying and frustrated going, why can't I lose weight? Because you won't apply nothing you know. You got 17 books on how you're supposed to eat. You could be a nutritionalist and you could have a master's degree by now with all the information you know about what it takes to lose weight, but you don't put the Doritos down. Now tell me I ain't right about it. And then we look at people in the body of Christ who bless, who breaking through, who making it through things, who changing, who are growing, and truth be told, we sit next to them in church and say, oh, God bless you, praise you, I'm happy for you. And the whole time you hating on them, but when it was time to keep believing God, they kept believing when you quit. When you was up in the house watching Criminal Minds, they was in the Bible study. When they was reading their Bible and memorizing scripture and meditating on the things that God has said, you were somewhere dozing off with a Budweiser. Then you mad because you don't apply what you know. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't show favorites if you do it the way the kingdom instructs. I don't know when, I don't know how, but it will happen. Can I tell you the truth? Some of you go to sleep for no other reason than you don't want to deal once again with hearing what you already know and know you ain't going to do. And so that sleep devil comes and you just sleep.
Yeah.
And some of you got attitude now, but you can't help it because you know I'm telling the truth. You know it's right. It is what it is. So listen, The abiding of this, for the joy, somebody hear me, please. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured. How we endure is continuing to believe that God is good and all things work out for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So even though I'm in the middle of trials, I know that this is developing something in me. This is creating patience in me. This is something necessary for me. The Bible goes on and it talks about let patience have its perfect work so that you're not lacking anything. Do you know there are some things that God has promised you that, this blew my mind when God said this to me, that I want you to have the stuff you want more than you want it. Because sometimes we got this picture of this evil God that's dangling some carrot in front of you, and just when you're about to get the carrot, he takes it and goes, ha, 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 ha. Did you see him, Gabriel? It's just like the ice cream truck, and he hit an ice cream truck, and then the kid almost gets to the ice cream truck, and vroom, and they take off. It's just like that, Gabriel. It's like God got all this information and he's just locking it up somewhere to make sure you can't get to it. Because if you get to it, you just might find out the key to unlocking and getting the stuff that he don't want you to have. God has already freely given you. Oh, and he's not trying to get, he already gave it to you. He's just waiting on you to believe it and keep believing it until you get a hold of it. He wants you to have it. Don't you want your kids to have nice stuff? On Christmas, are you trying to, the kids come to the package and you go, no, 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 you can't have it. I was just teasing you. You're more excited than them. You get up earlier than them. You can't wait till they see that they got their such and such a thing. My daughter finally gets the purse delivered. I really am. I praise God. Hallelujah. We singing praise songs. We wanted to get the purse. God has already freely given us all things. And the Holy Spirit is here. When the Bible says that the eye is not seen and ear is not heard, and neither is it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. That's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, when that Old Testament scripture is quoted, the next thing it says is, but he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So the prophetic Spirit of God is revealing to you what he's already got for you, that he already gave to you, so that you can believe it and receive it. That's why God, before they ever got to the promised land, he knew it was giants in the land, but it was the promised land. He'd already promised it. It's already theirs. They had to go fight, but it was already theirs. And though you gotta fight, you fight with the knowledge, God is with me, it's already mine. It don't matter the obstacle. It don't matter whether people believe in me. It don't matter what people say about me. God has already freely given it to me, so I'm just working on possessing it. But like the children of Israel who couldn't possess the promise because they seemed like grasshoppers in their own sight, and we seemed like that to them, which was always stupid to me because they were spying on the land, so the giants in the land didn't even know they were there. But they went away talking about how we're like grasshoppers and we like that to them too. They didn't even see you. But because of how they saw themselves, what God had already freely given, they could not possess. There's so much stuff that I could have walked in that I haven't walked in yet simply because I just wouldn't keep believing. And so as long as you got that kind of stony ground that when I'm preaching it to you, you're shouting about it, but by Wednesday you done gave up on it, you never going, if you're wavering, and a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways and should not expect to get anything from the Lord, because one minute you believe it, the next day you're not believing. It looked like it's going to happen, you believe it. When it looked like it's not going to happen, you stop believing. Gee, my knee, man. Praise God. I always say I'm going to ignore the sleeping thing, but I always, like my wife said, one day you'll have, like, it'd be hundreds of people and you're like 50 of them sleeping. What you going to do? Because sometimes I just feel like maybe I should put a mat out and give you some graham crackers and some milk. I mean, Lord God Almighty, for we can't make it 2 hours in one service in 1 week without crashing out and drooling in the middle of the message. I'm perplexed. I mean, I'm confused. I can see it with Deacon Keith because he falls asleep in the movie, but I'm saying for most of you, most of you go to the movie and won't even get up and pee because you don't want to miss the next part. But when it comes to the house of God, all of a sudden, boy, we've been in here for 10 minutes and everybody's going, I gotta go. Some of you on medication and older, and I understand it is necessary, but some of you just can't sit down for 2 hours. I'm going to preach a message called Graham Crackers and Milk one day. Graham crackers and milk. Because the Bible says to be sober and vigilant. Because we have an adversary. And he's roaming about seeing whom he might devour. And he devours the people that don't pay attention. So wake up and pay attention. Your life is in a ditch because you don't never pay attention to what's going on. So. Eat the graham crackers and milk and stop take the nap before you get here. Now let's move on. I'll probably feel bad about that later, but I got it out. It felt good at the moment. One day I'll be done with it. Enduring to abide up under. I know some of you, man. Maybe you come back next week. I need to get some good sleep in here, Truvon. I have to tell you, yeah, that's going to be our slogan. When we get that website, come to Truvon, you can get your sleep on here. I know. I'm just saying. When the Bible says that Greek word for patience and it says an abiding under, that means then you can carry the weight of trials and difficulty and suffering and frustration and things not working out and setbacks. And then the Bible said God never puts more on you than you can stand. And I thought about that when I was up there praying. I said, well, wait a minute. You don't put more on us than we can stand. And it's because we can stand anything because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so what God does is that He allows the weight of a trial to get heavy enough that you can't carry it so that He can come up under you and carry it for you. And then you realize, I can't believe I'm still moving. I can't believe I'm still accomplishing that. I can't believe I'm still standing. It's because like with Paul, when the Apostle Paul said that, oh my goodness, you got to take this thorn from my flesh, this messenger from Satan that keeps buffeting me. And then Jesus just kept coming back saying that by grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So God on purpose looks for weak people so that when the trials hit you and you too weak to carry it, that's when the strength of God comes on you. That's when the strength of God comes. And so the Apostle Paul get a revelation. I'm going to stop whining about you taking this from me. And I'm going to start glorying in my weaknesses. Because when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. What would you do with a believer when the believer finds out that when I'm weak, that's when I'm my strongest? So when the devil hits me the hardest, that's when the power of God comes on me the strongest. If you can carry it, What do you need God for? You think we could lose our child and still pastor this church under our own strength? It's the strength of God that when I'm at my weakest point, that's when the strength of God comes. That's when I'm strong. That's when I'm anointed. That's when I can do. The day I get up here and think I can do this because I'm entertaining is the day the anointing doesn't flow. But every week I know, God, if you don't show up, it don't matter. You are the one that makes this happen.
Lord, help me, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the last thing I'm going to tell you. I had a revelation the other day about Peter, because I keep talking about Peter, right? And then Peter steps out of the boat in the middle of a storm. Then he looks at the wind and the waves, he starts to sing. Jesus picks him up and says, "Oh, you of little faith, wait a minute. Maybe it's just me. But if you stepped out of a boat in the middle of a storm and walked on some water, wouldn't that constitute great faith?" Jesus picked him up and said, "Oh, you of little faith." So all it takes is little faith to step out in faith, but it takes patience to operate in great faith, because great faith is what keeps you walking. The disciples in the boat had no faith. Peter had a little faith, and the little faith got him to step out of the boat, but because he didn't have any patience, he didn't have great faith, and so he only stepped around for a while in that water, for he saw the wind, the waves, his situation, the bills on his dining room table, started to see the sickness in his body, started to see the trouble he was having with his kids, forgot all about the promises of God, and started to sink in doubt, fear, and unbelief. So great faith is what gets you all the way through to the finish line. Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. So I keep my eyes on him when I step out of the boat, and I keep my eyes on him the whole time I'm walking, because he is what's going to empower me to get to what God promised. And my mother-in-law said, "Wow," because that's how I thought. It's a revelation. You telling me that a man step out of the boat, walk on the water, and he got little faith? Faith and patience. What difference does it make if I start a church 2 years later and shut it down because I'm mad and frustrated because there ain't enough people or whatever I think it is that day? What good is it for you to step out and believe God, and halfway through the process, you start sinking in despair and depression and frustration and give up on God? And then become religious and start coming to church, hearing the same old messages that you ain't going to apply, just like them diet books you got on the shelf, and you still going to keep eating the Doritos. I do it too. Are y'all with me? Y'all got attitude? What did I say that's not scriptural? I say something not scriptural? Is it too much to ask that you not sleep? Am I asking too much? Okay, I'm just checking, because if that's too, I mean, I didn't think that was a great demand, but I could be wrong. Faith and patience is what gets you to the end. So if we're going to do impossible things, we're going to have to keep believing God. Keep believing God. The testing of your faith is always going to come. So when you come and talk to me, I can encourage you, and I can pray with you, and I can encourage you in the scriptures. But all I got is the scriptures. All I got is the word of God. All I can do is take you back to what the word says. If we talk ourselves out of the word and we say, "I'm just being real," as if this ain't. I mean, let's just keep it real. I mean, all that church stuff, yeah, but I mean, we're talking about real life. So am I. I'm talking about real life too. Jesus said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." They're spirit and they are life. Faith and patience. I believe
that everybody in this room has a promise from God. And you have something that God is just dying to give you. But you got to get back to believing Him again. And keep believing Him. And keep believing Him. Because faith says, I've got the confirmation of what I'm hoping for. Even though I don't have any proof, I got God's word, and it's just a matter of time for some heavenly UPS truck gonna come up and give me the blessing that God has promised. Let's stand together. Praise God.